And Mary treasured all these things in her heart. In the name of Jesus, may we see you. So Mary treasures what things in her heart? Mary likely expected to treasure a faithful son, a normal future for her son, and a child who stayed close. But at age 12, Jesus disrupts those expectations. And so you can imagine she may have anxiety. It's real human anxiety, maternal anxiety. And so you could say this is not just a stained glass moment. They, in essence, as earthly parents, lose Jesus. And that's not to be too much blamed on them. There's a lot of commotion going on when you have dozens and dozens of relatives walking in a crowd. That's on their journey home, what they had to do. But they return to find him. And they find him in the temple. Now, why does Luke specifically tell us this? He's such a specific guy. And he says, after 3 days. Thanks, Luke, for telling us that. Must be important. After 3 days, they found him. That's not a coincidental number, folks. And they get to Jesus and ask, "Son, why have you treated us so? Our searching has caused us great distress." "But why, Mom?" Jesus answers. "Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Now, that right there is trade talk, because it was Jewish custom that at age 12, that's why they have bar mitzvahs now at that age, you start to become a man at age 12 there. And at that point, it's time to choose what you're going to be doing for a living or what your father, your earthly father, is going to train you for, the family business. So in some English translations, that's why it says, "I must be about my Father's business." Things of the church or the Father's business. Jesus right there knew what was going on. He most likely had a bar mitzvah, and he was to choose what his family trade was going to be. And he chooses teaching and being in the Lord's house. And you might say, wasn't Jesus a carpenter? We like to call Jesus a carpenter, but the Bible actually say that he was a carpenter. Says Joseph was, and most definitely he probably taught Jesus that. But Jesus didn't pick carpentry as his trade. He picked going about his Father's business in the temple. And that, folks, is a line of work definitely concerning holy things and holy matters. So, at this point, though, he's still learning. It says he was asking questions and answering them, and it was in the answering. You know, sometimes when you answer a question, others around you learn something. And so in that way, they're talking words. They're talking specific words in a holy place, and those are words about God. What is words about God? Let me tell you, that's literally theo and logos. It's where we get theology from. It literally just means God words. Astonishing, they say. The Son of God, the Word in flesh, is speaking theo logos. But he turns back to his parents, and without reservation, Jesus submitted to them and went back to Nazareth. What about Mary throughout this whole thing? Now she's had her son, which she proclaimed, and to know that the angel Gabriel told her he was going to be Messiah, but she must soon realize who her son ultimately belongs to, and that's the Father. Mary, most likely in her mind, she was wise and smart, starting to think that she cannot control his mission, and also that she will not be able to keep him from the cross. And neither will you or I. Treasure that. It means to hold together, ponder, and guard that. Because let me tell you that faith often looks confusing. And like Mary, we must store confusion alongside trust. So once upon a time, there was a mother, and she was saving a letter, a note from her child, and she put it away in a special place, in a drawer or maybe under something. She knows where she kept it. She was saving a letter. Now, I bet you right now, you're wanting to know what the letter said inside of it, right? But hold on a minute, because sometimes treasures are not meant to be understood yet, only kept. Now realize, Mary had already heard Simeon say things like, a sword will pierce your soul. And she's going to have that happen when she stands at the foot of the cross and lose him again, but this time to death. All right, so you want to know what the letter said. The letter that was given to a mother simply said, I love you, Mom. I want to help people when I grow up, but I don't know how yet. And you see, she kept it. She didn't fully understand it at the time. She might have been thinking, well, she has time to figure it out. Her child isn't old enough yet to choose a vocation, but she kept it. She folded it up and stowed it away preciously. The mother did that not because it was necessarily useful at that time. She did it because her love values and recognized that was from somebody special before she could quite grasp what she was to do with it. And that way it's a cheerful treasure, not a troubling one. Not fear, not panic, not disappointment, because like Mary already knew who he was. Mary had already sung the Magnificat, already rejoiced in God her Savior. Sometimes treasures are not meant to be understood, only kept. But we want explanations now. We want clarity now. We want God's purposes to be practical and comforting immediately. Do you know what that is? That's controlling. It's being a control person. What does control do? Control makes us discard what we cannot use. Yeah, I can't use it right now. Let's get rid of it. Control rushes past what requires patience. And control then will miss joy, will not have joy in that way, in that fashion. That's what causes anxiety. And that's because joy has to finish ripening. So back to the mother with the note. The letter stayed with her in her secret place a very long time, before it even ever mattered. Yet she treasured that word from her son. It was a glimpse of his calling, a promise still unfolding. Joy only making sense, not now. Joy only makes sense later. Right now, it was time to trust God's working. The Father knows what he's doing. He trains sons and daughters in the family business. That's why Jesus goes to the temple to claim that work of God, his Father. And that work ultimately leads to, like I said, where Mary loses him again at the cross, to complete the work, to complete the family business. But the completion, you know, doesn't end in sadness. It does turn out to be a joyful thing, as he will complete the mission of the cross. He will die, be buried for 3 days in darkness. But he will rise on the third day. That's because nothing treasured by God, nothing that he treasures is ever lost. So Christ, he did all that. He completed the work. But for the church, he says, I'm not done working. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But John, the gospel writer, also tells us in the beginning, in the Genesis, was the Word. So you can call Jesus a carpenter, a creator, because he had a hand in developing and forming and speaking, because he is the words, creation into being. So through the church, Christ still places his Word in our hearts. But not always for immediate understanding, but it will always be for future joy. Because sometimes treasures are not meant to be understood, only kept. In the drawer where the note is kept, years later, the mother goes back to it and she unfolds it. And then the meaning becomes clearer. The joy becomes deeper. And so it is with Mary as she finally realized, yes, I must hand him over to the Father. Sad as her heart was, Mary, 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 Mother Mary, what does that have to do with the church? Because so it is with the church. So it will be with us. And let me tell you, that's a reason why the early church fathers always ascribe the church to Mother Church, called her a reflection of Mary. Because the church is the womb from which we were born into. See, the church broke water for us in order to have us. So no wonder why the church treasures these things. The church knows, gets the knowledge of what God gives today. He may not explain it tomorrow, but yet it is always, always worth keeping. The mother does not keep a child's note because it solves a problem. She keeps it because it came from someone she loves. So likewise, the church ultimately is not here to solve a problem. The problem has already been solved by someone she loves. The church hears Jesus' note clearly. Jesus' words at 12 years old only fully shine after his ministry, his cross, his humiliation, and his resurrection. What once was kept becomes understood in light of what God finally does. You see, this is why this reading is assigned in the Epiphany season. An Epiphany just means a revealing. You can equate it to a bright light. And finding her child there, she didn't really get it at first. She had a nice 12 years with him. You can kind of say, I want this forever. She wanted to be with him. But have you ever walked into your room or you're turning out the light as you're going out and you see something in the corner of your eye? Maybe you're looking for something. Maybe you're in the bathroom and a brush is on there, but at the corner, well, this is kind of silly, folks. But whenever I go turn off lights and walk in the parts of the house, I am good at, I don't know why, but my wife likes this. I'm good at seeing a bug on the floor if it's there at the corner of my eye. I always can see that in the dark. I don't know why. But an inanimate object or whatever, I know there's been times where you flip the light off and something caught you and you go, wait a minute, what was that? And you flip it back on and you can see it clearly. See, Jesus was in the temple and it was like they were going out. They were already had worship that day. They were leaving. They shut the light off. And then they have to go back. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And when they see Jesus in the temple, flip the light on, they see him. Okay, let's go. Later, the mother Mary says, ah, I remember when the light, the Epiphany, was flipped on. And you see, God does the same thing with us, and he does it through the church while he keeps us in his grace. And he will continue to do that until the day he reveals what he has been doing all along. Mom, I love you. I want to help people when I grow up. I don't know how yet. The note is sweet. It's sincere, but it's not actionable. It does not explain anything. So it's not framed, posted, or analyzed. It is simply kept. Not because it's confusing, but because it is unfinished. Years pass, and it will for us. But here's the payoff. The child grows, life unfolds, the mother watches, kindness takes shape, sacrifice appears, and yes, service becomes costly. But now, when the letter is opened again, suddenly this I want to help people has weight. I don't know how yet makes sense. And the words did not change, only time changed. Mary hears Jesus say, I must be in my Father's house. She doesn't panic. She does not correct him. She just keeps it. Because she knows that these are not careless words. These are early words, but they are holy words spoken before their hour. Mary treasures them the same way, not to analyze, not to explain, but to trust. Because sometimes treasures are not meant to be understood, only kept. God, too, gives words that grow us and grow with us. That's how he keeps you in his grace. And keeping trusts the words spoken, the words written down, and we receive We receive the means of grace before we even understand them. We trust before we see. And God will always and does always keep his promises. The treasure Mary kept became the Savior we receive. The Son and the Father's business are not in conflict. They belong together. Jesus said, I must be in my Father's house. Must equals divine necessity. This is Jesus joyfully engaged in his Father's business. Now, just like then, what and where is the Father's business? The mirror image of the temple, the church, the word, the water, the sacrament. Those are the Father's business indeed. Here he gives himself again to be kept, to be treasured. Mary treasures Jesus, but Jesus is the treasure given to the world. He leaves his parents so that he can later leave the tomb. He obeys the Father so sinners may become children. And he is lost for 3 days so that we are not lost forever. This is not a boy wandering off. This is the Son at work. A Son who belongs first to the Father. A mission that will cost her dearly, but salvation that will bless the world. Mom, I love you. I want to help people. So it is with us. The church loves you. She wants to help you. You may not understand what's going on. And quite frankly, the church sometimes doesn't always know what's going on with you. We have to come here to talk, to receive. And it's all the Father's business. The Father's business is never bad, even if there's bad news involved. As it was from the beginning, is now, and will be forever, Jesus will fulfill it. And we will continue to receive it. That's a mother's treasure. That's the church's gold. But now also we heard through the word of Isaiah, that ending, that great prophecy, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. I tell you of them. That's treasure to keep. That's a declaration, but also a coming to pass, which is a gift of grace. Gifts of grace coming to pass is a mother's treasure, and it is here for you. Today is the day's journey. This is where you will find him. Find him who is wisdom. Find him who gives you favor with God and man. The greatest treasure is the Father's work. Jesus fulfills it. We receive it. Salvation to keep. In the name of Jesus.